in a world crying out for Thunderdome.
Thunderdome!
The fans have spoken. Two films enter, one film leaves. The top 10 gives you a reckoning by the name of Thunderdome.
Thunderdome.
Brought to you by the Schmoes No Network. Take it away, boys.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of Thunderdome.
Thunderdome!
That's the second to last time that we might be doing that officially here on the show.
We'll have to think of something else.
Yeah. This is our last Thunderdome. We've been doing this for years on the show.
Yeah.
We had an initial version of it way back in the first iteration of the show, and then we didn't do it on the video version of the show, but then we brought it back for our patrons on this version of the show, this third version of the show, and we've kind of hit that wall, Matt, where we just kind of like it's too much work for everything we've got going on. With now, when you throw in the fact we're trying to schedule these live events, and then we've got stuff going on in each other's lives, like separately, throwing in the fact of having to watch two movies or having to watch one movie, trying to figure out how to have conversations, it just became a bit much for us. And so we decided we want something that's a little easier on both of our schedules, but still deliver quality entertainment to our patrons. So.
Yeah, and if you want to help us evolve what the idea of the show could be going forward, we already had some good submissions.
Yeah.
So actually keep them coming because we're thinking about doing potentially a rotation of shows.
Yeah.
So we'd be using more than one individual's idea. We already have a couple that we like so far a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And some other good ones. We don't know, if we take the brand a different way because some people are saying, hey, talk about TV shows, which we're not against.
Right.
But we're a movie podcast.
Yeah.
Still a good idea.
Yeah, sure.
But I would say the majority, about 50% of the responses, are just to talk.
Yeah.
Just shoot the shit.
Yeah. And that to me is fine because that's what we do anyway. So
True. You
throw that on the pile.
But I don't know how we make that interactive and something for the Patreon people and stuff. So if we can build another show around it where we can still shoot the shit and do a show like we normally do, fantastic. Best of both worlds.
We'll do Patreon stuff.
There could be a week where we both just slammed and we forgot to put up whatever the thing is. You're like, hey, this week's just going to be a bullshit
week. We're just going to talk about shit.
Talking about whatever happens to come up. But this is so for the very last, and they didn't know it when they won on the last drawing for Thunderdome. They had no idea. So your winners are Sean Naughton, and he got to choose the topic, then Tim Koskuba and Niall Blackie. So those are your three winners, Sean Naughton, Tim Koskuba, and Niall Blackie. So then Naughton came in and said, worst sequel to a beloved movie. And beloved.
Yeah.
So Niall first chime in said Speed 2.
Okay.
My first question is Speed beloved?
A lot of people love that movie.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Well, beloved's a subjective term.
True.
So maybe amongst his crew, his friends, his family, it's beloved or beloved, however you want to say it. But maybe amongst the general film public, it's not necessarily beloved. People like it. I don't know if it's beloved.
I don't know that it's something that's like, oh, man, I always watch Speed. It's a good movie.
I'm not
knocking it, but there's not a lot of like emotional human elements to draw you continuously back in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just watching people on a bus.
Yeah.
It's still pretty a good movie.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, is that beloved? I like Speed 1. I've never seen Speed 2 because it's just.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen Speed 2 because if they come out with another Die Hard, I will see it in the theater because I've seen them all in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how bad it's supposed to be, I got to see the train wreck for what it is.
That last one was brutal. Yeah. First 5 minutes, fantastic. You're like, oh, this is going to be interesting. What are people talking about? And then complete nosedive off the cliff, man. In the rocks.
The point at which, I don't know if you remember, but it was the one I laughed at it in the theater.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis has his hands zip tied behind him.
Yeah.
And just through sheer force of strength manages to separate, like just butterfly out his hands and break the zip tie. Once the moment comes, it's like him and his son or whatever. I really. That seat just overpowers a zip tie, something the police use to to detain fucking criminals. Okay. that seems a bit much, and that was after seeing 5, 6, 7 ridiculous things.
My big one was the fact that he knew where to go in Moscow in the car or in that whatever the hell
the
he was
cab in the very beginning.
Yeah, in the very beginning. Like, you don't have any map of Moscow. You have no idea what the street signs mean. You don't read fucking Russian. You have no idea where the fuck you're going. How the fuck do you end up in the right place and then cause all that destruction? Somehow the Russians don't hang you from a tree? Are you nuts?
There's 75 of those in that movie.
Yeah,
are you true. Fucking kidding? They did this right now.
Yeah.
They did this and it just ends so preposterously.
Yeah.
That would have potentially been on this list. And then finally, Tim Kuskuba came in with Matrix Reloaded, which that first one is beloved to me.
I agree. Thoroughly beloved.
I didn't mind the second one coming out.
Yeah.
For this reason alone, I was like, well, they're going to pay it all off in the third one.
In the third one, yeah.
So I don't care that I'm walking out of here underwhelmed right now. It's fine. It's fine.
We all deluded ourselves because they shot them both at the same time.
Yeah.
Just like they shot those Lord of the Rings ones at the same time. So you thought, well, no, they'll wrap it up. You know, they'll wrap it up in the third one. We saw Back to the Future 2. Maybe not the best installment, but 3 really saved the
franchise. Yeah, you're brought it back to what it was.
Same thing will happen here, and it horribly didn't.
So it changes your perception because Matrix Reloaded 1, we both went back and watched it.
Yeah.
And now looking back through knowing that there's no payoff for any of this, certain scenes are just frustrating.
Yeah. Frustratingly in the way that they're useless. They make they offer nothing to the overall plot.
You think it's like a philosophical question that'll get paid off?
No.
And it just leaves you wanting at the end of it. And I guess that's the truest mirror back to society itself. We have huge questions that will never be answered, just like they do in this.
Yeah, but I don't go to the movies for that. Nobody does.
Give me a payoff somewhere, either utopian or dystopian, but give me something as opposed to just fucking nothing, man. Nothing.
It was ridiculous.
And in this one, so now watching it, it's like the speeches with the Merovingian and going to see the Oracle.
Oh, yeah, the Oracle.
When the Oracle is like, well, you know the choice. Now you want to know why you ask the question or whatever the case is. And it's like, I don't care. I don't care because it's all meaningless. It's all pointless.
Well, also the CG. Well, look, just from
some of the CGI.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
The whole fight with all those Agent Smiths.
Brutal.
Yeah. The choreography is incredible. The CGI is terrible.
You can so blatantly tell when it switches over from actual actor to CGI and it's just full fucking cartoon CGI.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. But like just from the beginning, right? You're coming off this incredible film, this first film, and you start off with this like fucking dance party at the end of the world. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, to me, that frustrated the hell out of me. They're going to all like get all sexy times on each other in a dance floor.
Yeah.
The fucking machines are coming, dog.
There's one sentinel for every person.
Yeah.
One sentinel. So there's 250,000 coming for you. And you realize, dude, you know what we need to do? We need to rave and we need to fuck.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. And everybody went, hell yeah. Look, that's the thing. As of watching it now, I want Zion to get destroyed because every character they show me down there is annoying and I don't care about and I don't want them in my story.
Agree.
I want the story with the Nebuchadnezzar and this small group, and now I got this whiny kid that's trying to latch on.
Oh, yeah.
And the bullshit politics and this stupid council and the discussion of like, well, look at this. Machines are coming to kill us, yet we need machines to live. Oh, the irony. Oh, the irony. And Neo, I love it because I don't know. It seems so passive aggressive. And he's like, I get it kind of thing eventually to the counselor. Is that why nobody asks questions? There's no young people. It's like, shut the fuck up.
From the beginning all the way through, right? Like you said, the council. Why do we need the council, right? You have why is Cornel West sitting on the fucking council?
Why is Roy Jones Jr.?
Yeah, right, Roy Jones Jr.
And actually doing some better acting compared to some of the professional actors.
Fair enough. But all of that. Then you throw the storyline in. Of course, they replaced Tommy Chong, who had been in the first film.
Oh, yeah.
And so you get Harold Perrineau in there and his wife, Nona Gay, what the hell they're going through in this situation, like, you know, missing each other and all that. And then, like, they have to go off on this other mission. And then you have – isn't Jada Pinkett's in this one too? Like, this whole subplot.
She used to be dating Morpheus, and now Morpheus. She's dating
Harry Lennox. Yeah, that guy.
The stiff upper lip guy.
Who's a jerk for no reason.
Well, his motivation makes the most sense. I need all my ships here to protect these people.
Right.
And they're talking about a hope and a dream, like something you don't believe in. So to you, that's unicorns and Narnia. It's like,
right.
What do we – I mean, we need our men here. We got to protect this. What is this nonsense?
Yeah.
Utter nonsense.
Yeah, it's ridiculous as hell.
Yeah, I agree with him. But the council, the families back home.
Yeah, all that stuff.
All that stuff is so dumb.
And you know, you try to redeem it with Trinity and the love thing again and massaging the heart and all that bullshit. And you're just like, no, that isn't what this is all about. That isn't what this was supposed to be.
Kind of, but maybe not like that.
No, but I mean, look, it's a cool moment because you have that moment that it like mirrors what you saw in the first film. But it's not quite the same thing because you don't have this great other film around it, right?
Yeah.
Then you have the whole thing, right, the Merovingian, all that with what's her face, Monica Bellucci. Mm-hmm. What's that, the cake, you know, all that stuff.
The other girl.
Yeah. It just seems like the Wachowski brothers in this film are like, fuck it, we got carte blanche. Let's do all the freaky shit we've ever wanted to put into a movie. And they're both transitioning from men into women in real life. And so they're into that leather shit. And that's just predominantly.
They were into them in the previous film.
Yeah, well,
too.
But it wasn't as so. It's so prevalent in this movie. You're just like, what the fuck is going on here, man? You're losing the plot because you want to show all this kind of nutty shit. And it's like, well, no, that doesn't belong in a mainstream movie, a sci-fi mainstream movie. That shit does not belong in there, man.
And also, like. Neon he turns into a Jedi.
You mean Neo? Yeah.
Neo, sorry.
I like Neon though. I like that.
Yep. Thinking of the great actor.
Yeah.
And the Agent Smith stuff, like once he comes into the real world,
yeah.
I was expecting much cooler outcome for that.
Agreed.
And it just seems so wasted.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Neo does the handout and takes down the frickin' sentinels or whatever,
you're like,
oh, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Like this.
In the real world, yeah.
Yeah, and this whole franchise, wow. What's going on, man? I don't understand that. So now he's manipulating the computer world from the physical. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Never pays off.
Right.
The Agent Smith thing doesn't really pay off to the degree that you think it should.
No.
Well, at least I'm talking about on the human side.
Yeah.
But even in the computer side, the Matrix world, it's okay.
Right.
The Superman 3 fight, like at the end the final.
Yeah.
It's like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you, dude. No, that's the general feeling.
Yeah.
Even though you do have one of the best action sequences ever directed, which is all that stuff on the highway with the two semi slamming into each other.
I would say when the Sentinels are breaking through.
Yeah.
That is effing dope. When the guys, they're in those mecha suits and they've got the machine guns, I mean, you're taking out hundreds.
Yeah.
And there's still thousands behind it.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I like that scene too. They built that freeway, if memory serves, up near San Francisco.
Yep.
That's
hubris, man. That's hubris. It's unnecessary. That's what was so good about the first one, dude. It was a self-contained story on a small scale.
Yeah.
I get with a sequel and a third one, you got to expand the world. You know, they do that.
Yeah, people are expecting.
Of course. They do it with Star Wars, whatever. Like, start out small, then you expand the world, planets, what have you. In this, they're expanding into a second realm of existence. Like, what is this all about? You've got you've got the machines against man, all of that shit. But in the end, it's just window dressing because you don't have a real story to tell.
Yeah.
And that's the most frustrating thing at the end.
I mean, it seems like because you're setting off from the first one into like this philosophical discussion of free will and choice and what does man have? Is fate real or is, you know, do I have any say in what happens to me? And they keep trying to explore that idea, but it comes – I mean – I guess it's a payoff in their eyes, but ultimately it left us all wanting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't enough, at least to quell all these questions and emotions you've stirred in me now to get to this point. And the architect.
Yeah. It comes in right at the end.
It's like a whole lot of what?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, you should have seen this coming and blah, 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 blah.
This is the seventh iteration.
Yeah, the seventh iteration.
I mean, the guy's got a very specific cadence. It's a great character.
Yeah, but it doesn't work, man.
I know.
Because it's irritating as fuck, his cadence. His cadence is irritating as fuck.
But
I never saw that actor again.
The thing is, I think that would have been badass had they brought him back and he's the manifestation of like the machine getting destroyed or coming to a peace.
Yeah.
Like putting some sort of visage on it to give us an interaction to where it's not just him in a bed of robots in a Christ-like pose. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you picked a good one, Cuscuba, because if there's just a shit one in a beloved, this corrupted.
This definitely fits the bill. Man.
Yeah.
I thought Godfather 3 was going to get a run. I thought somebody would nominate Godfather 3 because that's the worst installment.
True, but I think this is a bigger disgrace.
I agree.
Because at least you got Godfather 2, which we both feel is even better.
Right, but it's a beloved movie, Godfather 2.
Yeah.
So Godfather 3 would have – but Godfather 3 has some great scenes.
I don't even count it in the series in my head.
You don't? Yeah, yeah. But there's some great scenes without Sofia Coppola in that movie. Absolutely. Someone should do a cut of that film without any of the Sofia Coppola scenes, mm-hmm. and it would damn well work.
Get the Star Wars people on it.
Yeah, yeah, I should get those people on it. But yeah, but overall – I mean, that's the thing is like it – they – and then you have like the Keymaster – and you have all that going on and then you have all that like going through everything that he goes through in the multiple doors. And then, of course, that kid, the Keymaster, dies in that way. And you're like, everything seems to be in service of getting Neo to where he's going, right? But then there's all these fight scenes that just seem unnecessary. Oh, I found you now. It's like, what the fuck, man?
The Asian guy that's basically a bodyguard, but you find out that he's a program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So don't you think the program would be able to recognize Neo?
Right.
As opposed to having to fight him to prove that he's Neo?
Yeah, exactly.
So this was just, there's a lull in the action of the movie. Let's throw this fight scene in here.
Yeah.
I don't understand why, because we find out that he and then the Oracle are both programs. Then if she knows clearly, then you should think and know that that's Neo.
To me, unnecessary fight scenes are like when you listen to a song and they have no other lyrics and just go, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it works.
Yeah.
Think of the Beatles and –
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's different.
I'm just saying. Yeah, but we're talking about somebody working at that level
I guess.
In their field. Yeah, but I was about to say that, or the Police, because like, certain bands like to do it.
Certain bands can get it right.
They get away with it. We give them that license to go, I'll let you do gibberish talk because the rest of this is so good.
Right, exactly.
You enjoy the gibberish talk.
That's not the case here, though, man. This film just really rough to watch, man.
The sad thing is the better sequel is what, a prequel, The Animatrix?
Yeah, The Animatrix is fantastic.
It is. It's really good.
And there are scenes in Revolutions that I enjoy. The war scenes are badass.
Yeah,
but everything around it is just not strong. You know what I'm saying? That kid like becoming a warrior himself, and the old Hawaiian dude dying, or the Polynesian guy.
Yeah, that's my favorite battle. Yeah, I think in the entire series.
Absolutely, that's just badass.
It is when all those Sentinels are coming in and just they're lighting up the sky with munitions, and it's not making a dent.
Nope.
And you're like, oh.
It's incredible visuals, man.
It is. It's like I read a book years ago by Michael Crichton.
Okay,
and it was the you know, you does it. Whatever sufficiently new technology comes out, he takes it, corrupts the idea, and shows the bad side of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's his hook. He's really good at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had one about nanotechnology and these things with just like the hive mind of it, and they would mimic people and stuff like that and could attack. And that's hypothetically possible one day.
Thanks,
when
man.
I saw
– I need another thing to be fucking afraid of. Okay.
Yeah. That one's legitimately possible.
Yeah.
Because you just get – they're so easy to make.
Yep.
At that point, you scale it up, and then you just give them a simple directive.
That's good to go.
Whatnot, yeah. Killbots. Billions of killbots showing up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Just tiny little things that come to fuck you up. And that's what the Sentinels reminded me of. It's like some sort of nano individual that taking out the one does nothing.
Yeah.
Because it's this huge hive. Or like that last Star Trek movie where they would attack with all the ships that
came. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, what do you do against that kind of wave? You need something that just is a splash defense that can take out wide swaths. And that one in space, good fucking luck with that. But
exactly.
In this, like you can't do too much damage because you'll cave the ceiling back in upon you.
Yeah.
So you're limited on your defensive options. You would think that you'd have it on the exterior and the tunnels coming down. I don't know why that wasn't there, but I guess they bored through the concrete and earth and shit.
Yeah, they got through that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and bedrock and whatnot.
I don't know. This is a great choice because I can't talk about how disappointed I was in this film enough. Like there's so much to destroy about this film over and over and over again. And yeah, I think Keanu's doing a good job. I think Fishburne, I don't know. He came in heavier than he was in the first movie.
Yeah.
Which is, he's a very prominent belly in this movie. You have the scenes with Jada Pinkett, and so it's so unbelievable that she'd be with Harry Lennix, because there's like not even a shred of romance or chemistry between them. And so you're like, oh, you made the decision really easy for her to go with Morpheus and betray her current boyfriend again. Never mind that a guy – you're right. Never mind the guy's trying to like protect the entire fucking place.
Yeah.
You know, you're upset because he doesn't believe the way you believe. Morpheus shows up and you're like, oh, shit, here. I'm just going to go ahead and become this again. And it's like, what the fuck?
you're sacrificing the needs of the many
yep.
for the needs of the few.
Yep, exactly.
Unless the preponderance of people do believe in this
right.
prophecy.
Right.
Then
right.
you have to adhere to, unfortunately, that's politics.
Right. Which they do a ham-handed attempt of. That's what was my
with
problem.
The council.
Yeah, the council is so ham-handed, man.
It just comes in. It's a forced – we're forcing the plot to go this way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, why?
Yeah.
Nobody explains their actions really other than these like kind of verbose speeches that don't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's all doublespeak as if they were previously lawyers in another life and they know how to expound without saying a damn thing,
yeah.
like an order or something. But then – just like, okay, send the fucking Nebuchadnezzar, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's too frustrating.
I know. I wanted to – it's kind of like when you go back and watch The Phantom Menace and you're like, trade negotiations, okay. Okay.
Yeah, you're
thinking – yeah, it was setting up conflict or something. I don't know.
Maybe I was too young. Maybe I didn't get it. I was too young.
Yeah, or like old watch Senate. Ooh, political intrigue.
yeah.
And it's like, no, there's none.
Yeah.
There's none.
Which means that whoever wrote it didn't understand what the fuck they were writing about. Like honestly, because all they did was do broad brushstrokes.
Yeah.
The Senate thing too, it's all broad brushstrokes by Lucas. Lucas doesn't understand politics in the Senate really thoroughly because it's all presented, but it isn't really explored.
If you are making a movie that is for kids, then don't put it in.
Yeah.
Because that's what he always said. Star Wars is for kids and adults, but that's why the pod racing is in there. That's why he had Ewoks. That's why he had – who else? Toy sales with Ewoks too.
Exactly.
That was part of the motivation, at least so I've read.
Yep.
But if you're going to do that, then don't give us child version of politics
because
it's pathetic. So either make an adult movie or make a kids movie. I'm fine with either.
Yeah.
But don't do this middle of the road shit where everybody's unsatisfied.
Yeah.
Except for really young kids who are like, the pod racing was great. And you're like, okay, well, had you been my age when you saw it, you would have been indifferent at best to the pod racing.
You know what's scary is next year is like the 20th anniversary of Matrix. Next year, 1999 is when it came out. That's fucking mind-blowing, dude.
Oh, that is mind-blowing.
Yeah. Wow. Warner Brothers just released a 4K version of all three of the films as a set and separately. I bought the Matrix one immediately as soon as it came out because that in a 4K transfer must look exquisite. I haven't opened it yet, but it must be exquisite. I will not buy the other two. I just won't. Even though they're great scenes, I can watch them on
no
YouTube.
Point.
Yeah.
There's no point.
It's just disappointment all around.
Yeah.
You just progressively worse and worse and worse, you know. And the Oracle, who had been presented in such a positive way in the first movie, is really just given nothing to do in this second film. And she's supposedly the fulcrum of this whole situation. Like the whole prophecy comes from the Oracle. That's what Morpheus heard when he heard the Oracle's prophecy. That motivated him to become who he became to go after Neo, which in turn probably pulled him away from Jada Pinkett's character and so broke up that romance. And then he eventually finds Neo. Now this whole thing – and then you have the Oracle come in and it's nothing. It's sitting on a park bench eating candy. And it's like, come on. There's more here that you can do. And it's just ridiculous the way it goes around and around and around.
You know what always blew my mind?
It's a maze that collapses in on itself.
The subway scene where he gets stuck in between the two worlds.
I think that's in the third one, isn't it?
Yeah. And the family?
Yeah, the Indian family, yeah.
The two programs got it on and made –
yeah.
A new program?
Yeah.
What? With no explanation. This is going on. What? Why when the Oracle like gets caught or whatever else and she has to come back as a new form, why couldn't she just come back as the same form? I have to assume that was a contract negotiation or something.
No, she died.
Oh, is that what it was?
The actress died.
Okay.
Yeah, she died in between. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Because she was in a different world, that
all
TV
right,
show.
All right, well, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, you know, I know. But they replaced her with someone who had nowhere near the presence that the first Oracle did.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
She had like a specific kindness to her.
Yeah, sure.
It was unique to that specific woman. It's nothing against the other one. It's just like, I don't know, she conveyed the character in a different way just through mannerisms and her eyes and stuff.
There was a settled nature to her. That the second Oracle didn't have.
No.
Yeah.
Or at least, I guess, didn't have our trust in having.
Yeah.
Since we'd already seen the other one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, Tim, you picked a good one. It's just disappointing when you go back and I wasn't even paying attention at certain points. I was like, I don't care about this entire – like it's on – I'm staring at this, but I'm not paying attention.
And that's the worst. If you can't get people to focus in on it, man, that's just the worst.
Especially when I can go back and rewatch the first one like that.
Yep. The Keymaker. He's got these dreams about Trinity's death that he's trying to work through, right? And then in the when she actually dies, then he brings her back. It's madness, man. Lana and Lily Wachowski. That's their names now. And it's really weird that both of them transitioned into being women.
Yeah.
The directors. It's so weird, man. I don't mean weird in a judgment way, like, oh, you shouldn't do it. I mean just weird because it's like so unusual and never
has
happened
before.
Yeah,
what are the statistical chances of two brothers transitioning?
Into women, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And being directors of films, like that's like unheard of.
Wow, yeah. They're the only ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We know what the odds are.
Yeah.
Two in how many ever Hollywood directors have ever existed.
Exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, over the entire population? Yeah, I don't know. That's
– yeah.
Or like whatever. There's – yeah, a million statistics. Anyway, there's no point in going down that rabbit hole because as much as people may want to hear us shoot the shit, I don't think they want to listen to us blindly quote things we don't know anything about.
Did you like the weird two albino brothers with along with the dreads and shit?
Could have been so cool.
Yeah, could have been cool.
Could have been so cool.
Yeah. They work well in the highway scene.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Like ghosting in and out. Yeah. And then suddenly it's a hell of a villain. Like a villain.
Yeah.
I like that if you're going to create – that's very Star Warsian, bringing in a new badass villain and then equally getting rid of it just as quick.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean there are some great shots throughout the movie and you know you do – I mean like when he's flying through the fucking Matrix and all that shit behind him, that's pretty badass and – I don't know. There was just so much promise to this fucking thing that when it came out, you just felt like, oh, man, really? They fucked this up? But you're like, but like you, Matt, you walked out of there thinking, oh, maybe the third one.
Yeah. I did that the whole time.
Yep.
We could get there. We could get there. Yes. It's like being at the Hillary Step in Everest and you see a storm coming in and be like, gosh, I think we could make it to the top. You're like, that's certain death. I think we could make it. I think we could do it.
I'm not going back down.
No.
Don't make me go
back
down.
I did not come this far, freeze my nuts off to make it this close and not. Yeah, sorry, we're turning back.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, this I don't know if you remember this, but in LA, I don't know if you were here in LA when this came out, but like when it did, it was on a 24-hour loop at the Chinese theater.
So
they were showing it 24 hours a day for the opening weekend, all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
For Reloaded or Revolutions?
Both Reloaded and Revolutions. Because Revolutions, I think, was a few months afterwards. And people, like you said, like we said, people still had hope that the third one was going to wrap it. So the excitement was still there. Even though people felt the second one wasn't quite good, they felt like, oh, maybe the third one.
It's a bridge to the finale.
Yep, yep.
So you give it a little bit more leeway than you would a first or a third.
I was, what, 20? 30, I guess I was 30, no, 20, yeah, I guess 31, 32 when it came out. But like, I was still young enough. What we did was we went at 5 in the fucking morning. So
there's no way you were 30. Are you talking about the second one?
Yeah, the second one.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the first one. I was like,
no.
You just said it was 20 years ago next year. So
people we got the tickets for 5 a.m. because all the other showings were sold out. So we had a bunch of people come and stay the night with us at our 3-bedroom condo because it was literally across the street from the Chinese over there on Hawthorne Avenue.
Oh, wow. You lived up in there?
Mm-hmm.
I had one buddy and I never could wrap my head around living in that area.
It was all right because we lived like on Hawthorne, so by the Jim Morrison mural there.
Yeah.
So we lived just a little bit down the road there on that street and in one of the townhouses, but inside the gated area. So none of the craziness that goes on there came close to us because it was all gated and closed off, and we were like third or fourth townhouse in. So we didn't see any of the nuttiness.
Even.
But walking up to go get any food around there, like any like Subway or some shit, it's fucking nuts. And there were times where I'd be like, get the fuck out of my city, all you tourists, because you can't walk anywhere and everyone's bumping into you because they're looking around and shit.
I'm more so thinking of the loony bins and homeless central.
Yeah, that as well.
Because I've seen I remember when after I moved here, I'd been here for a couple of months and I was just walking down. I can't remember where I was in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I looked up an alley and there was a homeless guy just pooping.
Yep.
It's like,
no problem.
Okay. All right. I mean, look, I one time when I lived in San Diego, saw a guy just walking down the street and he had a hole in the crotch of his like pants and he was just peeing as he walked.
Oh, Jesus.
I was like, okay. That's one way to do it.
I guess so.
Yeah. But just the amount, the sheer amount of homeless plus like crazy people. Hollywood Boulevard draws a lot of crazy people.
Yeah. I perfected my mean mugging face during that time just so no one would come talk to me. Like when I would go and go do stuff. So when, but yeah, it was even worse back then than it is now, because like back then they had the, you had the Galaxy Theater that was up there, which was a real shithole theater. You didn't have like shoe stores.
Never even tell that.
Yeah. It was just like, it was like where you see the gym, the LA Fitness, mm-hmm. that was a whole theater. That
it was
a set of theaters.
It was a pretty much a dump when I moved
yep,
here.
Yep.
And in the past 10 years.
Yeah, they've really changed it.
Built that. Once they got the Kodak up there,
mm-hmm.
everybody just started flooding and more money. So eventually, like all the little souvenir shops, there'll be fewer and fewer
yep.
as more big corporate clients come in.
Yeah. So we went twice, 5 a.m. in the morning both times. So we would get everybody got up around 3, 4, used the bathroom, took showers, and then we went to see the fucking movie. Then we went, ate breakfast at Mel's Diner right down that street
sure.
there in Highland. Quietest breakfasts we've ever had. Like everyone was just like couldn't believe how terrible both those films were. But we repeated the same pattern again for Evolutions.
You would think that you would have learned your lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. We thought. But, you know, we had to be the first one. We had to be one of the first ones to see it so we could talk about it, you know.
If you don't know your past, you're doomed to repeat the mistakes.
Of the future.
So you need, to remember. I can't believe it, because when you said both times, 5 a.m., man.
Yeah, man, both times.
I just remembered, hey, fuck, man, we got to get these as soon as they go on sale.
Yeah.
Pick even any time is better than 5 a.m.
Oh, no, we tried to, but they were always all sold out, like, because people got to their computers a lot quicker than we did. So, like, people were like, because we had, like, I don't know, we had, like, 15 people that went both times, 15, 20 people that went both times. So it was a lot of people to get tickets for. And then we all, like, were just like, fuck, you know, because we all wanted to sit together. We could have gotten 20 tickets spread out all over the theater, but 20 tickets together
okay.
was really tough to find. And so the easiest ones were the really early ones because no one was going.
A theater that has assigned seating at that time, too.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's common all the time now, which is fantastic. I prefer
right.
it infinitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
a lot easier.
Especially when somebody sits in an area and you know that there weren't any seats sold for that.
Right.
What are you fucking doing? Where did you sneak in from? Where is your seat supposed to be?
Yeah. A friend was telling me about the guy who came into the theater, sat next to him. He moved and he went and sat next to somebody else who was sitting by themselves. Like this guy had this weird kind of thing. So that person eventually moved. And then eventually this guy just got up and walked out of the theater like 20, 30 minutes into the movie. Some people are really fucking weird, man.
That's creepy as fuck.
Yeah. Listen, this is controversial. And maybe it means I will never get elected to office. But there are some people that I think you should just take off the earth in certain moments. And you're just like, this is a
I
very
like that you
strange
gave yourself
person.
A little leeway in being like, this might make me unelectable. Might. You know, I might run one day still after I have this fucking
Look,
policy.
After the lunacy of Trump, anybody can say anything, I think, and get elected.
he had a cult of personality.
That's true. That's true.
It's hard to replicate.
Yeah, I don't think Outlaw Nation is there yet.
No, I don't think anybody. I can't think of another politician. when he said, I can walk down, Fifth Avenue
in New York.
And shoot somebody and still, you know, get votes.
Yeah.
And won the election.
Yeah, and won the election. But
anyway, more about your policy.
No. Just saying, like, there's just some strange people that, when they violate, and this is my thing, like, violating personal space is a huge thing for me, man. So, like, when they do that, I'm just like, you know, I kind of want to fucking be like, what is your issue? What is your deal? What is your problem, man? You know? So, anyway, it was a side story there. So, 5 a.m., terrible times to go see both of these movies, Revolutions or Reloaded. But just flaccid sequels to a great movie, man. It's a shame. It really tarnishes it. Mm-hmm. As much as you enjoy Matrix, at the end you can be happy it's a good movie. But then that immediately the feeling comes, fuck, man, they really messed this up. They really messed this fucking franchise
every time. I just
up.
Try not to think about it.
Yeah.
I think of it as like a standalone-ish movie, mm-hmm. even though it's harder for me to divorce what comes after as opposed to Godfather 3. It's fully divorced. It's the first two movies, and that doesn't even
Or
count.
Rocky 5. I don't even consider Rocky 5.
Well, there's only one Rocky, which is 4. That's the only Rocky.
For God's sakes.
It's the only like really
you're a lunatic.
Awesome Rocky movie. It's Rocky 4.
There's rumors about a reboot of The Matrix. There have been rumors
sure.
with Michael B. Jordan, actually, ironically, from Creed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where he would play like the son of Fishburne and Pinkett.
So is he Eno?
Sure, he would be Eno.
Or maybe he's Neon.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. So what – yeah, now you can speculate. Would he be the next iteration because they said there have been previous you know, quote-unquote ones.
Right.
So is he the next one? Does he actually finally pay off this franchise? That'll kind of devalue it on some level, I think, to me.
Neon is
like,
the one.
If they know that that is the course correction and just immediately come out and course correct.
Neon is the one.
Neon is the one.
Oh, Jesus.
But it's spelled, you know, O-N-N-E. Maybe an umlaut over the O to give it the long O sound. Is that what an umlaut does? I'm not entirely sure.
I think it does.
Yeah.
Then you have to get the now you have to get the EDM music for that bullshit. Rave music out, EDM music in. What are you? I'm a DJ for the end of the world.
God. If there's another fucking dance party in Zion, dude, shoot me in the head. Whose personal space do I have to violate for you to kill me?
Right.
That's what I need to know. And that you, the one nice thing about that side story about the violating personal space is at least now started to establish some guidelines to getting passports and potential visas you know, Outlaw Nation.
That's true. Yeah.
Here's a prerequisite.
Sure, yeah, we have to watch you. We have to watch you on camera for like 6 months ahead of time. And then if we see that you don't have the ability to – you respect people's personal spaces, then you get into the Outlaw Nation. That's perfect. Yeah. Everyone just keeps to themselves. We're a community. Everybody helps each other. But everybody keeps to themselves.
A community of solitary individuals.
Exactly. It seems perfect to me. Everybody comes together and does what needs to be done.
Now, how many cats can they have as pets? Is there a limitation? They're not getting human interaction. They're going to need some sort of physical, seems like a cat person situation.
Well, that's a good question.
Because dogs would take you to a dog park to interact with people. What, are you going to get a cat person to figure out the proper number? Are they still – Perry.
Perry, can you come in here for a second?
How many cats does she have? We're about to find out. Here's an official verdict.
She's watching the game. Come in here, Perry.
Oh, which game?
She's watching the football.
Thursday night game?
The NFL game.
Who's winning the game?
Perry, you're a guest right now
on. Doing something now?
Yeah.
You're a guest on Outlaw Nation right now.
I'm not on Outlaw Nation.
I mean, I'm sorry, on Top 10. That one doesn't work, so you're going to have to go on either Matt's mic.
Pull up a seat, grab a seat, pull up next to me, and we just go in between the two of us.
So this is Perry is a guest star right now because we're recording this as people are still kind of at a collider right now. Perry, welcome to the Top 10 show. This is the Thunderdome episode. We were discussing, because we were just about to finish up, we were discussing terrible sequels and Matrix Reloaded, obviously one with our fan base as the worst one for them through the choices.
I love that you're giving a preamble that has nothing to do with the reason that you brought her in here.
So we always talk about what it takes to be a member of Outlaw Nation, like to be an official member.
I bring it up. I ask questions. Yeah. I'm always inquisitive.
Of the sovereign state of Outlaw Nation, like an actual place that exists. And he asked me how many cats are allowed per person on Outlaw Nation.
He's going to have a policy that you can't – personal space is basically the only unbroken rule that I've found out so far.
Yes.
So I said, oh, so it's a nation of solitary individuals. Is there a limit on how many cats these people can own? Because they're going to need interactions of some kind.
I think they can come together and do things, but then everyone leaves
if
each other
alone. If they're dog people, they're going to be communal. So if they're solitary cats, how many cats – I love that she's your prime minister, your minister on
I was
this.
Just going to say Perry would be the prime minister of Outlaw Nation. She'd have to decide the cats issue.
So wait. So I understand this here.
Yeah.
The question is, residents of Outlaw Nation, how many cats are they allowed to have?
Yes. Per person.
As solitary individuals.
As solitary – no, that's important.
It is.
I am a one-cat woman.
Yeah.
Dewey is my everything, and I give him everything I have. I live in his apartment. He doesn't live in mine.
Oh. Strike number one.
Yeah, I know. But he's
trust me, I have a bit about it. I've been writing it for like the past 3 months. Fucking cats, man.
I think that the number of cats should be limited to how many cats can fit in your arms at one time. If you can't carry all your cats, you have too many cats.
If you can't carry all your cats.
That's a t-shirt right there, something. That's a rule of law. We should get that passed on the city council.
I like that idea. Cornell West would like that idea.
What can we do about roosters in this town? Because that's another one.
You have a rooster problem.
We have a rooster issuing Outlaw Nation.
I'm sure the rooster number is zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With cats? It should be. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be waking me up.
All roosters should be replaced with cats.
That's right. If a rooster crawls into Outlaw Nation, it is immediately shot.
Ooh.
Well, that's taking.
And I will separate it from its family. I have no
problem.
It's
going to be a problem, though. That many cats? You're going to take out the bird population, which means you're going to have a spike in insects, my friend. You're going to be fucked. Spike in insects and mice and rodents.
Really?
Playing a warped game of The Sims or something.
Wait a minute. Why would I have mice and rodents in
insects, for sure. Because the cats would kill off the indigenous bird population, and their main source of food would be nuts, so you would lose some of the propagation of plants. Well, but then you'd also lose them with the insects that they kill, and potentially like any bigger birds, they would take out mice and all that shit.
Are you talking about wild cats?
Cats in general, man. They kill birds all
cats
the time.
Cats stay in the house of these people.
Not all cats. I mean, Dewey's a house cat, but some people have outdoor cats.
They do not in Outlaw Nation. They don't. All cats stay in the house.
See?
If you have an outdoor cat or a wild cat, it is immediately killed. There is no question. House cats only. Now, if you're outside walking the cat or you're walking with it in your arms, that's okay.
Do you have a census report for Outlaw Nation? I want to see how many residents are currently and the influx of expats. Are you getting more people in? Is there like an Ellis Island situation? Because you have –
Ellis does have his own island.
Sorry. Misquote on my part. But I want to see the flow here of immigrants and immigration throughout.
Well, it's not going to be a large population. That's for damn sure, man. Not with the right rules. No way. That's a reason for that.
Are the cats allowed to be anything but gray cats with green eyes?
Yes, the cats can
just
be.
Just making sure.
Yes. She knows. That's the only cat that I want if I ever get a cat.
Is a gray cat with green eyes?
Yeah. They're supposed to be the conduits between heaven and hell. That's the rumor, with gray cats with green eyes.
Where'd you hear that? Is that some South American thing I've never heard of?
Yes.
Just reminds me of Big Trouble in Little China. We need an Asian woman with green eyes. You're like, oh, the chances of that, it's a once-in-a-generation thing. I don't know what a gray cat with green eyes is, but
– That would be the – what do they call those things? The mascot? What do they call it of like – what is American Eagle? What is the bald eagle for America?
Oh, well, it's the national bird, the emblem, the why are we blanking
on it's like the national animal, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's more than that. It's more than a mascot. It's more.
I think there's an official term that we're missing here.
Right?
Something easy that everybody listening going, you guys are idiots.
I'm used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's something like this. This is like civics class in third grade.
It really is.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see here.
This is like a BuzzFeed class where they're like, can you pass civics, geography, history, anything? Like first grade, and I can't get any of the answers.
I can answer the eighth grade and above, the ones that matter, not this shit.
For some reason, the ones that make me saddest is when I can't pass the science ones.
Oh,
really?
Like, I took one the other day that was like eighth grade biology, and I think I got less than 50% right.
Yeah, the only thing I can come up with on this is Ben Franklin wanted a turkey to be our national instead of the fucking eagle.
Yeah. I saw that in the
bird?
Yeah, it's a national bird, isn't
it? National bird?
Yeah, I think it's the national bird.
Like, you have state birds too, right? No?
Yeah. You have state birds?
You do have state birds because you have the cardinal for Missouri, right? It's the national bird. The bald eagle is both the national bird and the national animal of the United States of America. So it's the national bird. Well, we would have a national animal, not a national bird. It would be a gray cat
with green eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. On the flag?
Yep.
Gorgeous.
Yep.
Seems like a Disney villain.
If anything radiates isolation – singular by itself, it is a gray cat. It is a cat of any kind.
On a flag.
Don't step on me.
Are
perfect.
There CrossFit gyms in Outlaw Nation? Probably not, because that's where I'm going right now.
There you go. There she goes. Thank you, Perry.
Thank you for being the first ever guest on the very last Thunderdome.
Thunderdome.
Officially your resident cat expert.
Nice. And the Prime Minister of Outlaw Nation.
Yeah, good bump up in title. I talk benefits package.
All right. Well, there you go.
Well, hey, for the last one, that took an unexpected detour. Good for you. I like that.
I like that.
It's the benefit of being able to do this earlier.
Yeah, she's like, I got the time. I got to get out of here and go to CrossFit. All right. Well, I think there's nothing more we can add to this thing.
No. We talked about this. Thanks to all of us that have been on this Thunderdome ride for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I think we started doing this 4 or 6 months into doing the show itself.
I think it was your idea. I think it was your suggestion.
Just to create. People were demanding more content. We were trying to figure out something to do. And
yeah. We worked it. We hammered it out, but it was – the genesis was your idea, if I remember correctly, on Thunderdome.
Yeah, but it's been a easy, fun little show that people seem to enjoy, and we've liked doing it. It just now – like we said, it's tough on certain weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Certain weeks I've got the time. I can make time for the movie. And other ones, I have to find the time. Yeah. And sometimes I'm splitting it up 30 minutes here, 45 here, watching it as I go to bed.
Yeah.
If I fall asleep, then the next night try and finish it type of shit.
Yeah.
We always get it done. But at the same time, it's shit, you know, we're just pulled in a lot of different directions these mm-hmm. days. So we want to keep delivering you what we promise as opposed to half-assing it and giving you a subpar product. And exactly. we both felt like if this keeps going, eventually it's just going to start delivering a worse and worse return. So
yep.
might as well change it up.
Exactly.
And so for those Patreon members, it's open to all of you. Anybody that has already donated on Patreon, go up there. You can find the post with the email address that mm-hmm. you email us the show idea at. And please keep sending them when you hear this. We haven't made any decisions.
Nope.
And, you know, we'll hold off probably for like the first week because technically it'd be next week we would yep. drop another one of these.
Mm-hmm. So be patient with us as we hammer this out. We're going to hammer it out as quickly as possible.
But you'll still get your two shows next month, whatever mm-hmm. they may be. But there'll mm-hmm. be two extra shows up there and they'll be somehow Patreon, you know.
Yeah, related.
Use the Patreon people that support us. And if you'd like to, go to patreon.com/the top 10 okay. With the number 10. And that's it for us. Go to facebook.com/groups/the top 10 show with the number 10.
Yeah.
Check out our merch at shop.spreadshirt.com/the top 10 with the number 10.
Yeah, we got two new designs there. Go take a look at those things.
Yeah, go check those out.
Go buy them. Post pictures.
And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, at Matt Nost, MattKnost.
You can follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. And yeah, echo everything Matt said. And also just thank everybody for participating, all the Patreons for contributing. Like, it was a fun ride doing Thunderdome, but it's time to put it to bed. The show must evolve if the show will stay alive.
Yeah.
And this is just a natural evolution of things.
Yeah,
we've both been feeling this way for quite some time.
The mainstay is going to stay.
Yeah,
that's
of course,
the show.
Of course, that's
so
the show.
So it's nice to have something new in the rotation.
Yeah.
Because that – I look forward to it every week.
Yeah.
I find that show very fun. And then this one on top of it, just like there are certain weeks, like the show you're going to hear on Tuesday, I needed to watch a couple movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Without a doubt. It's mm-hmm. like it's not a broad topic, but it's one that, you know, there's certain things I need to go back for or yeah. see again.
Yep.
It's one of those weeks. So to make sure that we're still delivering the best product there on the main show, which mm-hmm. is what, you know, you guys all tune in for, really. Yep. So anyway, that's it.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to our official last episode of the Top 10's Thunderdome.
And you can follow John at The Roka Says Thunderdome.